Thanks, everyone. Thank you for inviting me, Judy. It's an absolute privilege to be asked to speak in Overeaters Anonymous. My name is Sammy. I'm a compulsive overeater and a food addict. I'm a hopeless variety. I've been around these rooms for probably 25 years, but my sober date is the 6th of June 2019. So I was a very slow learner. I was here for 10 years in the rooms, and I knew this program like the back of my hand. I spoke the spoke, and then I would go home and binge. And I did that for 10 years. And I didn't get a sponsor, and I didn't put the food down, and I didn't work the program. And I'm here to tell you it doesn't work unless you work it. And then I got the hump with OA. I was full of ego and arrogance and pride, and I spoke at a convention about recovery when I wasn't even in recovery, and they obviously saw through me, and they wouldn't put out my recording. So in a hump, I left OA, and I was out for 15 years. And all of my life, I can't remember a time when I didn't compulsively overeat. As a child, you could have my mummy, you could have my pocket money, you could have anything, you could have my toys, but I would never ever going to share my sweets with you. I'm never going to share my food with you. Right from day one, food was the absolute center of my world. And it continued throughout my life. And I was an overweight teenager, I was an overweight adult, and for most of my life, I was well over 140 pounds, morbidly obese. And I thought I'd get away with it. I would be the morbidly obese person that wasn't going to die from this thing. And I prided myself on the fact that I hadn't had a heart attack yet and I hadn't got diabetes. It was going to be different for me. And I went through years of believing that I was just a happy person, because in the end, I just gave up. I couldn't fight it anymore. I'd done every diet, I'd done every therapist, I'd done every well, anything really, apart from bypass surgery and actual surgery, which I knew would never work because I knew that it wasn't a physical thing; it was my mind. And but I didn't understand what I was up against. I really did not understand what I was up against. So, I'm in the rooms and I'm talking the talk and nothing happened. And then I'm out for 15 years. And over that 15 years, I did get away with it for a long time and I had a lot of fun with food, I'm not going to lie. And, it works. It works. That's why we do it, because I felt incredibly uncomfortable in every area of my life because I was a 5-year-old marauding around in a 53-year-old body, hoping to, that no one was ever going to find out. I didn't feel, mature enough to live in the world. I didn't feel mature enough to know how to manage my life. And that was my problem. I thought food was my problem, but it wasn't. Life was my problem, and I needed the food to do that. Can you hear me? I've just had a call coming in. Sorry. Did you hear me? Yeah, okay. So, the second part of step one, this unmanageability of my life, it had nothing to do with food. Food was my solution to that. My unmanageability centers in my mind, it's my thinking. That's my problem. So, over the years, I'd lost 140 pounds, I'd lost 70 pounds. I would lose the what I would stick to the food plan because I'm very compliant. And in the early days, and I would lose the weight, and I think, this is it, I've arrived. I think of Bill, and I've arrived, this is it, I've got it this time, and only to pick up again and to put on the weight and some very, very quickly, huge amounts of weight I could gain. So that happened over and over and over again. And I couldn't understand why I could manage areas of my life. I was very successful. My life looked really good on the outside. I had a successful career, I adopted children, I had a lovely husband, I was, everything looked okay. But on the inside, it was absolute chaos and carnage. And I had so many masks. I was so false and fake, and I didn't know who I was or what I was. And I felt so incredibly uncomfortable, and I could be in a room with 400 people and feel like I was on my own. I never fitted in. I was never quite right. Never quite right. And I was never happy, and it was never enough, and it was never the right color, and it wasn't this man or that man or the other man. And if I had those things, I'd be all right, but I never was all right. And that is my, I know today is the spiritual malady, the emptiness, the God-shaped hole that I needed to fill inside of me. I was trying to fill with something out there, and it never worked. I just became more and more empty. So, I'm 15 years, I'm out there, and I got to the point, and I never ever thought I would get there. This disease took me to a place where I never thought I'd ever go. The dark night of the soul. I was 24 stone eight, 344 pounds. I was losing the sensation in my legs. There was very little blood supply getting down to the bottom of my legs. They told me I might well lose my legs. They told me I'd lose my eyesight because I had fat behind my eyes, and I couldn't, it was going to squash my optical nerve, and I still couldn't stop. By this point, I had food hidden around the house. I was hand to mouth, hand to mouth, hand to mouth. I was like a junkie. And in the mornings, until I got my caffeine and sugar, I was rattling like a junkie, and I lived to eat. And I was up and down and up and down. I could not stop obsessing and eating food. And I wasn't interested in anybody or anything. I would go to a funeral, and I wasn't interested in the person who died or the people that were grieving. I just wanted to get to the wake and get the party on. And I'm ashamed to say that, but it was my truth. I wasn't interested in my children anymore. I wasn't present for anybody. And I was breaking furniture. I was wetting myself. I was messing myself because I was gluten intolerant. Yeah, I was still shoving the food in my mouth, and I couldn't stop. And all of the physical stuff was horrendous. It really was horrendous. I couldn't get in and out the car, couldn't get up and down the stairs. I was chronically disabled. I had pain all over my body. All of that was horrendous. But the worst thing for me was the spiritual death, the dying spiritually. I've got pictures of me where my eyes are just dead. There's nothing behind my eyes. And that is the spiritual malady, that eventually it kills the soul. It's a soul sickness. And that's what had happened to me. And I couldn't bear another day living in my life that way. It was nothing to do with the weight anymore. It was nothing to do with the physical stuff. I couldn't bear living in my own life. So I put the food and various other things down. I'm in another fellowship as well, the Sister Fellowship. And I thought that would solve my problem. And 10 weeks down the line, being abstinent, I wanted to blow my brains out because that's my problem. I can't live in the world without using something. So I'm in this kind of rehab. I've got a food plan. I'm following the food plan. The weight's coming off. Everything's fantastic. And I'm worse. How can that possibly be? Because I'm an alcoholic. That's what makes me an alcoholic, because I can't live with this. And this is going 19 to the dozen, like a washing machine on speed. And it's getting louder and louder. And I can now see my own BS. I can now see the masks, the fake, and there's nothing to use to deaden that. So I walked back into the rooms, not OA. I walked into another room. I knew that I needed something else. I knew that there was something missing, that abstinence was not the answer, although I needed to be abstinent. So I walked into another program, and then eventually I came back into the rooms of Overeaters Anonymous. And I walked back into the room that I walked out of 15 years earlier. There's still people there, still not in recovery, and I'm not judging those people because I was neither for such a long time. And I said to this woman in the room, and I don't think she meant this because she's not there, wasn't there very long, but she said, "You need to go." I said, "I don't know what I'm going to do because I can't live with the food and I can't live without the food." And she said, "You better get down on your knees and pick up the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous." And I'd had that book on the shelf for 15 years, 20 years, over 20 years, brand new, picked it up, came home, picked it up. I thought, the big book, that could be my answer. So I picked up the big book and I started to read it. There was no one to sponsor me in that meeting who had any recovery. So I started to read the book myself, and I took myself through the book. I don't recommend anybody does that in this day and age. With Zoom, there's no need to do that. There's sponsors everywhere that will take you through. But I did it. I took the instructions, and I hung on to every single word in that book. and I followed the simple instructions as outlined. And in step 8 and 9, it was like the higher power put his hand inside of me and pulled out the obsession to eat. And that was the beginning of my journey. That was the beginning of my journey. And I had over the years, I've had many near misses with the food, because I thought that I could get away with stuff. You know, I mean, this is the trait of me, really. I'll get away with as little as possible, and I want the maximum result for the minimum work. And I used to think that I could get away without the spiritual stuff, you know. And I found myself in the fridge several times, with my hand just about to go into the food. But I have, as this meeting, you know, is titled A Daily Reprieve. And so far, by the grace of a great big faithful God of my not understanding, I've not had to eat compulsively for the last 5 years. And that is a miracle, because I couldn't go 5 minutes. I had tape over my mouth for the first week because I couldn't stop putting the food in my mouth. It's a miracle for somebody like me. And today I live in a right-sized body. You know, I maintain 173-pound weight loss effortlessly. The problem has been removed. Every promise in that book has come true for me. But I have to take action. I have to work each step every day, every single step, every single day. And I need to be growing spiritually for me to have this daily reprieve. And if I'm not, you know, filling myself with the God stuff, with the higher power stuff, with the, you know, power of the universe, whatever it means to you, if I'm not filling myself with that, then I'm going to be filling myself with food. Because there's two very distinctive states for me. I'm either in self or I'm in the God state. And today I don't like living in self. I find it very painful. I find it very difficult, very hard. Life is hard work when I'm in that place. When I'm in the God place, the God space, when in here, when I'm, you know, when I'm treating my untreated, sorry, hang on a minute. That's my phone. Hang on. Oh, I haven't got the phone. Sorry about that. That's my phone. When I'm in the God space, when I'm in the that place, I don't need the food. I don't need the food. But I'm either going to have a lot of God or a lot of food. That is my truth. So today I'm on the spiritual path. You know, that means that I have to seek this power in all things of my life. I have to continuously turn to my higher power in everything. There's no part of me that wants to run my life today. There's no part of me that can run my life. I'm more powerless today than I ever was. I'm more aware of that powerlessness in my life. I have to work. I have to work with an awful lot of people. You know, I do a lot of sponsoring. I live in 10, 11, and 12. I live a spiritual life. It's not, you know, it's a spiritual program, and I live a spiritual life. And I have to try and live up to these principles in all my affairs. And it's not always easy. It's not an easy path to walk, but it's a much easier path than being in the food. So today, you know, 6 and 7, I use 6 and 7 all the time. I'm asking God to remove things from me, things that are objectionable to me. Step 11, you know, I'm turning towards that power and everything that I do. I'm asking God to review my day. I'm bringing God into every area of my life, my higher power. And I get to walk in the sunlight of the Spirit today. I'm a free woman. I'm absolutely free. And the best part of it, okay, I am abstinent. That's really good. And I'm in a right-sized body. But the best part of it is this doesn't rule my life anymore. This does not rule my life. I am not living in the madness. I have love that doesn't belong to me. I have wisdom that isn't mine. I have freedom. I have joy in my life today. My life is difficult sometimes. You know, it's not easy. I'm not trying to make out that I'm living some fairy tale. You know, I'm not. Life is life. Life is doing life. But I have a life that is beyond anything that I even had the capacity to imagine when I was in the food. I never thought I could ever be the person I am today. This power has transformed me into the person I am today, and I don't even recognize that person. But I don't recognize the old person either. I don't recognize the person, the false self, the person that I was before I came here. I don't remember. I can't relate to that person either. Today it's about what can I do for the man who still suffers? What can I bring to this thing rather than what can I get from this thing? You know, what can I contribute to life rather than what can I get from life? Because I was selfish and self-centered. It was all about me, myself, and I. Today it's about what can I do? How can I help somebody? Who can, you know, who can I be of service to today? I am a servant of God today, and God flows through me
That was
into the lives.
5 minutes. I'm sorry.
That's all right. Thank you. God will flow through me into the lives of somebody today. And the power of prayer, I just want to say about the power of prayer, do not underestimate the power of the power. Do not make your God too small, your higher power too small. You know, we're talking about a superpower that can transform lives. And I see that every day when I'm working with people. So this is an amazing program, an absolutely life-changing, transforming program, if you give it your all. And if you surrender, you know, your right to be right, you surrender your right to your life. If you're not happy in your life today, you know, then hand yourself over to the care of this power. You know, just talk to the power. You know, just give it a go. Don't be, you know, don't have, don't sort of put the prejudice in the way. Just try it. Try talking to this power, and see what happens. You know, don't believe me. Do it. Try it. So I'm a very grateful member of Overeaters Anonymous. This program saved my life. The Big Book saved my life. There are other ways to recover. That is not the only way. You know, there's some fantastic literature in Overeaters Anonymous. If you're new, get yourself a sponsor. Get yourself a tour guide. You know, I always say, you know, the big book is the I can't remember it. Gone out of my head. Oh yeah, the big book is the treasure map. You know, God is the treasure, and find yourself a tour guide to get you to the treasure. You know, that's my job, to take people through the work, and to watch them put their hand in the hand of the power and see how that transforms them. That is the real exciting part of this program. That is the deal for me. More exciting than anything I've ever tried to use any mind altering substance. It's the excitement of seeing what happens in people's lives. So I hope that something I've said today, you know, I will die from this disease. It will kill me. And there's many in these rooms, you know, who's this is life and death. It's serious stuff. I have serious respect for this disease, but I also know that this works. There is hope. This program works if you work it. But my goodness, you do have to work it, and it's a way of life. And I'm just really grateful. I'm really grateful that I get to walk with you. I can't do it on my own. It's a we program. I get to walk one hand in your hand and one hand in the hand of the power. And if I carry on doing that, and you know, just trudging the road of happy destiny, and doing as I'm told, working the steps, living in the steps, living in prayer, living in meditation, getting out of the way, letting the power do its thing, then I don't have to eat today, just for today. Just for today, I don't have to eat. And I thank God for that every day. And I thank God for the gift of desperation. You know, my desperation outweighed my ego on the 6th of June 2019, and I fell to my knees and I cried out to this God, I can't do this without you. I can't do this without you. And I can't do it without the power, because I have no power. I have less power today than I had 5 years ago. So I just pray that, you know, something I said today has touched the hearts of somebody in this room, and sown a seed, and that seed will grow into something fruitful. So thank you for letting me share. It's great to be here, and thank you, God, and thank you to the program of Overeaters Anonymous. Thank you.